Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio is Pastor Brian Peterson, our discipleship pastor, Brookside. Pastor Brian, we were talking the last couple of times about assurance of salvation. And one of the things that I think is so important for us is not to go on feelings, but to go on fact. You talked about that, and one of the aspects of fact is the Word of God. What does the Bible say? I remember talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and he was just struggling with, you know, am I saved or not? And so I just gave him an assignment. I said, go home and read 1 John, 5 chapters, and I want you to make a list on the left-hand side of all the characteristics that you see that will be true in the life of a believer. Then on the right-hand side, put a check beside the ones that are true in your life. And he came back the next week, and I looked at the list, and there were like 2 or 3 checks, you know. And I said, well, do you want to read 1 John again? He said, good night, no. He said, I'm not saved. There's no question about it. I'm not saved. I've been fooling, you know, all this time. And he said, I haven't been able to live the Christian life because I haven't been a Christian. He said, I had no desire to read the Bible. I had no desire to go to church. My wife drugged me to church. And he said, I would just struggle with trying to look like a Christian. He said, I am not a Christian. Now, I didn't tell him that. But the Word of God told him that.
Wow.
And it's so neat because I've been talking to him the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've been talking to his wife. And she said, wow, what a change. Now, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting. It's God's Word that exposes these types of things. The Bible says the Word is like a sword that divides asunder and shows a person where they're right and where they're wrong. And how vital it is if we struggle with assurance of salvation, that we go to the Word. And what does it say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're out there and you are struggling in this area of assurance, one thing that will do so much for you is for you to get in God's Word and begin to read it and begin to study it. Study the Gospels. Study the epistles. Read through these. Read through 1 John, as Pastor Greg just said. And allow God's Word to grip you and change you and mold you into being what you need to be.
And reveal to you. Another story years ago, a man by the name of Thor Elmgren, he was an unbeliever, just agnostic, maybe an atheist.
Yeah.
And his wife was a believer and coming to our brand new church. And I talked with him and he said, look, he said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I said, well, okay. I said, if you ever have an interest, come talk to me. And so maybe a year later, he called me and he said, I need to talk to you. God had been doing some things in his life and kind of turning him around, you know, making some circumstantial changes there. And he said, but I just don't know what I can believe. I said, okay, read the Gospel of John. And I said, every day when you read it, I want you to simply pray this prayer. Dear God, if there is a God, I want to know if Jesus Christ is indeed your Son. Reveal him to me as I read this book. And I said, every day when you read the Gospel of John, pray that prayer. And it was so neat because he'd call me back and say, man, I'm reading this passage and I don't know what to think about this. And what a joy it was for him to call me one night and say, I'm ready.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And that's what it does. That's why John even wrote that particular gospel, to just declare, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is God in the flesh.
Right.
And you need to believe him. And that's what God's Word does. It molds us, changes us. And as I said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you and I are in God's Word, our faith will be built. Our problem is, so often, is even those of us who are believers, we get out of God's Word. We stop reading it. And oftentimes our faith decreases, you could say, when it comes to, am I really saved? Am I where I need to be? And God hasn't changed. He has saved us. He
right.
has done all the work for us. It's just we've kind of taken our eyes off him for a while.
And, you know, you were talking this last broadcast about some evidences. They're often true in the life of a believer. Share with us a few of those.
Yeah, I think probably the clearest evidence that we are a believer is when we get saved, the Bible tells us that at that very moment, we are given the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Bible that that is the down payment of our salvation.
Kind of like the earnest money?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. When God gives us his Holy Spirit, he has made the promise, I am saving this person, and I will ultimately glorify them and take them away from this sin-cursed body, and I will make them like myself. But he gives this Spirit, and this Spirit begins to work in a person's life. And anybody who has the Spirit of God, he will begin to work, convict, deal. I'm sure you hear testimonies like I do all the time. Once a person comes to Christ, the things that they used to do, all of a sudden they begin to sense, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing these things anymore.
Right, right.
And how quickly it changes. And also, that Holy Spirit not only begins to deal with things that we shouldn't do, he begins to show us things that we should do.
That we never thought we'd want to do before.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's what even Galatians 5 talks about. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of our flesh were all these sinful, lustful ways of living. But a person who has the Spirit of God, over time, they begin to develop the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the Holy Spirit convicts us when we begin to head the wrong way.
Right.
And that's what 1 John talks about. That whole book, as we talked about a couple of broadcasts ago, he says, these things were written for you that you may know that ye have eternal life. And he lays out some evidences
right.
of a person who knows Christ is their Savior. In fact, in 1 John 2, he talks about keeping God's commandments. In fact, Pastor Greg, why don't you read that passage in 1 John 2, 3.
It says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Yeah, that's one of the evidences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the evidences is that we will be people that strive to keep his commandments.
We want to.
We want to.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that we will not struggle when
right.
it comes to keeping those commandments.
Or that we'll be sinless.
Yeah. In fact, Romans chapter 6 through 8 talk about how you and I, although we have been transferred into this realm of the Spirit,
right.
we still have this Spirit incarcerated in this flesh
right.
that still wants to do wrong. But there is now this Spirit that is working, dealing, encouraging us to live for the right things. And we oftentimes can't get away with doing the wrong things anymore just because he convicts us about it.
Let me give you an illustration. One of the first people that got saved in a church we started in Albany, Georgia, was a sweet lady, and her husband came to church with her, but he didn't trust the Lord, and he watched her life. And finally, he began to ask her some questions one night, and he said, what verses did Pastor Huffman show you when you got saved? And she, you know, kind of woke up, and she showed him the verses, and he said, okay. And so she said, well, do you want to get saved? He said, no, no, no. So she was about to sleep, and he kind of shoved her, and he said, Alice, wake up. How can you sleep when I'm not saved? And so he trusted Christ that night as his personal Savior. Now, the next day, he and his partner were working on two sides of a Southern Bell telephone pole, and he was screwing in a screw, and all of a sudden the screw slipped and went right into his thumb. And all of a sudden he was dirty, blankety-blankety-blank. And he stopped right in the middle of his sentence, and he bowed his head. He began to pray and ask the Lord to forgive him. Jimmy Swan was on the other side of the pole. He looked around, and he said, W.H., you okay? And he got done with his prayer. He said, yeah, Jimmy. He said, I'm sorry for cussing like that. I shouldn't be doing that. And Jimmy Swan looked around the pole again, and he said, W.H., what in the world happened to you? Now, he'd never heard me preaching on cursing, but the Holy Spirit who now lives within immediately convicted him. That's not the conversation of a born-again believer.
That's exactly the case. And any of us who know Christ, there is now someone inside of us who's working, convicting, dealing with us. And just to reiterate, that doesn't mean that we are going to be perfect people.
Not at all.
We still struggle. You read the end of Romans 7, and you read about the Apostle Paul who just cried out.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do, I don't want to do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what I believe he's talking about there, he's talking about a believer's continued struggle still in this flesh with wanting to just be out of this body.
But the very next verse says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that is able to deliver us.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And positionally, every one of us, when you and I placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were transformed and transferred from this realm of sin to the realm of being in Christ. And we are now slaves to righteousness. And positionally, we will be glorified one day. However, we still are having to deal with the remnants of this old man who still is trying to get us down. And what we have to do is we have to continue to submit ourselves to the Spirit, which is what it talks about all through that section of Romans.
What's another evidence of the Lord being present in our lives?
Well, just a few verses later there in 1 John 2, in verses 9 through 11, he talks about how we should evidence it by loving the brethren.
He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes.
That's exactly the case. You know what? Anybody who comes to Christ, one of the ways they'll start evidencing that they know Christ is they begin to love others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago at Brookside, we were talking about the Jerusalem Council, where they reiterated there at the Jerusalem Council, what is the essence of the gospel? The gospel is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Right.
You and I are saved by Jesus Christ on account of what he did on the cross, and we believe it. But there at the Jerusalem Council, that was not the only thing that was settled or taught. James there ends up going on and saying, your faith ought to be evidenced by a love for God, by keeping yourself from idolatry, and also by being sensitive and loving to your brethren. And so we have got to demonstrate our faith through our love for others.
Yes. Well, Pastor Brian, thank you so much for being with us these 3 days, and our time is up again. But I trust that if you are struggling with assurance of your salvation, find yourself in 1 John. Find yourself in the Gospel of John. Let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart and life, draw you to himself, give you salvation, or give you peace. And as Pastor Brian said, pray that God will give you that assurance, because he said that's his will. And so we trust that the Word for Life radio broadcast will enable you to better apply the Word to life every day of your life. And so until the next time, we trust God's blessings on you in a fantastic way.